Hello, and welcome to the first podcast of OTR Comedy. The goal of the podcast is to take two different old-time radio comedies with a similar theme and compare it to modern comedy. With this type of program, I am hoping to teach a new audience about some of the roots of comedy while also making an entertaining program that new and old fans of the golden age of radio will enjoy. Tonight's theme is rivals. In Jack and Joan Benny's book, Sunday Nights at 7, Jack writes about his rivalry with Fred Allen. It seems strange to me, looking backwards, that about a quarter of a century ago, the biggest question on the minds of 40 million Americans was whether Jack Benny or Fred Allen would win a boxing match for the benefit of Army War Relief. It was a real fight for 3 rounds. It was part of a gigantic entertainment program and rally at Madison Square Garden. It seems so long ago, and I don't just mean long ago in years, but also in spirit. It was a time when Americans were emotionally invested with their radio personalities. Television has never made this kind of direct emotional impact on us. At the time he wrote it, which was in the 70s, perhaps TV personalities were not then very entertaining people, but I believe in today's pop culture, many are invested in TV personalities. Among them, I think of Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, Conan O'Brien, and Jay Leno. The recent trouble with The Tonight Show between Conan O'Brien and Jay Leno had everyone on the internet arguing about what should happen. Some people were siding with Coco to stay on, and others were eager to bring back Jay Leno to The Tonight Show. That kind of interest of who was going to host The Tonight Show was an example of emotional investment in our television personalities. During the writer's strike of 2007, Conan O'Brien, Jon Stewart, and Stephen Colbert all appeared on each other's shows for a mock feud. This kind of stunt caused many laughs, and it's similar to the feud between Jack Benny and Fred Allen. We are going to listen to Jack Benny's program first, where Fred Allen comes on to invite Jack Benny to be on his show for May 19th, 1946, and I will talk a little bit more about Jon Stewart after that. Can you find Fred Allen's risque ad-lib in the program?
The Jack Benny Program.
At 49, American.
Quality of product is essential to continuing success.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
LSMFT. LSMFT. LSMFT.
Right you are.
Yes, sir.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. Mr. Lawrence Holland Moore of Shelby, North Carolina, who has been an independent tobacco buyer for 28 years, said,
"Year after year, at auction after auction, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy ripe, sweet tobacco, the kind that makes a really good smoke. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 23 years.
Independent tobacco experts like Mr. Moore know that it takes fine tobacco to make a fine smoke, and Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So for your own real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny, with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. From New York City, that body of land that was purchased from the Indians for $24, we bring you a man who could have gotten it for $22.50. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. It's gonna be hard to work and look at that face over there. Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, I can't tell you how thrilled I am being in New York.
Oh, I know just how you feel, Jack. In fact, the moment we arrived in town and I saw the reception we got, my chest swelled out with pride.
Don, from where I stand, your stomach is even prouder than your chest. But there's something about this city that's different. No matter how many times you come to New York, you get a feeling of expansion, of growth. The trees look taller. The buildings look taller. Even the mayor looks taller. It's amazing.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. The mayor is taller.
What? You mean LaGuardia found out about Adler's shoe?
No, no, Jack, no. LaGuardia isn't mayor anymore. New York has a new one now.
Oh, really?
No, O'Dwyer.
Don! Oh, wait a minute. Let's not steal jokes from Danny Kaye. You know, I've got four writers.
Oh, really?
No, O'Perrin, O'Balzer, O'Tackerberry, and O'Guzzler. Now, where were we?
Well, I was just telling you that O'Dwyer is a lot taller than LaGuardia.
Well, maybe he is, Don, but after he chases fire engines for 12 years, his legs will be worn down, too, believe me. So you never can tell. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, everybody.
Mary, I was just telling Don how thrilled I am being back in New York.
Well, I don't blame you, Jack.
Yes, sir. There's something about New York that's invigorating. Why, the minute I got off the train at the station, I felt stronger.
Is that why you put on a red cap and carried your own bags?
I just did that for a laugh.
A laugh? And how come you went back and carried somebody else's bags?
When I get a laugh, I'm not letting it go, sister. And anyway, those other bags belong to a very important man.
Oh, really?
No, O'Dwyer, and shut up. Say, Mary, have you been having any fun in New York?
Uh-huh, but I've been spending most of my time in New Jersey visiting my mother.
Oh, yes, yes, your mother. How is the William Bendix of Plainfield?
Oh, Mama's fine, but really? Papa's having a lot of trouble getting up the stairs.
Why?
Mama keeps throwing him down.
Sounds a little like Titus Moody in there, that one. I can understand. Anyway, Mary, how's the rest of your folks? I mean, how's your sister Babe? Did she get married yet?
No, Jack, and Babe's heartbroken about it. You know, last week she was going to elope with a new boyfriend.
And what happened?
She couldn't get the ladder up to his window.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, so she threw him a rope.
Oh, that's good.
No, he took another look at Babe and hung himself.
There's the sister right over there. Oh, that's too bad, huh?
No, that's good. Now she's engaged to the Undertaker.
Oh, really?
No, Shapiro.
Now, cut that out! I merely asked you how your folks are. You make a whole mishmash out of it.
Yes, and the people who tuned in late didn't mishmash.
Oh. Every time we come to New York, you...
Say, Mr. Benny, I'd like to have you meet a friend of mine.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello. Say, Mr. Benny, I'd like to have you meet a friend of mine.
How are you feeling,
kid? Fine. Say, Mr. Benny, I'd like to have you meet
a
friend of mine.
You having a good time in New York?
I sure am. Me and this friend of mine went out all over town, and we had a lot of fun. I showed him how to jump over fire plugs, and he showed me how to hitch rides on the back of trolley cars.
I don't know where you pick up. Where is your friend?
Right out in the hall. I'll go and get him.
Dennis and his friend. Say, Mary.
Here he is, Mr. Benny. Isn't he cute?
Dennis, they found the other 499 monkeys. Take this one back to the pet shop. Imagine picking up a monkey for a friend.
No wonder he was teaching Dennis how to hitch rides in the back of trolley cars.
I fell off twice.
What?
I couldn't hang by my tail.
Dennis, stop being ridiculous. Where'd you meet this monkey?
Well, I was walking along and I saw him standing on the corner waiting for a light to change.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Mary, tonight after the show...
So I took him by the hand and helped him across the street.
All right, all right. Mary, tonight after the show...
Then I started to sing and before I knew it, we had $40 in nickels.
$40 in nickels?
Jack, stop shaking that monkey.
Just trying to take him out of the upper brackets. He is kind of cute. Come here, monkey. Coochie-coochie-coo. Oh, look, it jumped up on me.
Dennis, quick, get the monkey off Jack's shoulder.
No, no, he's all right.
Well, at least move his tail. You look like Jerry Colonna.
Jerry Colonna?
What's the matter? You crazy or something?
Dennis! Stop being silly. Now, take it easy, monkey. Just sit on my shoulder.
Hiya, folks. Harris is here. I couldn't get a room, so I slept last night with Grant in his tomb. Lay it on me. Make with that New York patty cake.
Hey, Jackson, what's that thing you got on your shoulder?
Well, it's a monkey, a real live monkey. Come on, get down.
Well, what do you know? Where'd you get it, Jackson?
It isn't mine. Dennis picked it up last night. Isn't that silly?
I don't know. It looks better than what you picked up the night before.
Oh, yeah? She was a pretty classy dame.
Yeah, yeah. Say, were those her legs or were her stockings filled with walnuts?
Bill, one more crack like that and you're going back to California.
When's the train leaving?
I don't know. I'll call Truman and find out. So watch it.
Say, Phil, have you seen any shows since we got to town?
Yeah, Libby, I saw Are You With It.
Are You With It? That's the show that two of Jack's writers wrote.
I saw it 12 times.
12 times?
Jack's got the candy concession there.
Lemonade! Down to my last sugar stamp, too. Oh, well.
What other shows have you seen, Mr. Benny?
Call Me Mister.
I did.
Call Me Mister is the name of a show.
What happened to Are You With It?
Nothing. Dennis, you're getting dumber every day. Take last week with the quiz kids. Such confidence. You came to me and said, don't worry, Mr. Benny. I'll pull you through to ultimate victory.
That's right, Dennis, and we ought to thank Mary. She's the one that pulled us through to ultimate.
Bill, that's ultimate victory. Ultimate is an adjective.
Why not?
Bill, if I thought for a minute that this monkey could lead an orchestra, I know who would go back to the pet shop. Now, come on, Dennis, let's have your song, will you?
Gather lilacs in the spring again, and walk together down a shady lane, until our hearts have learned to sing again.
Sung by Dennis Day, accompanied by Phil Harris's orchestra, which was conducted by Dennis Day's friend who used his tail for a baton. And very good. And now, you're welcome. And now, folks...
If my mother knew I was doing this, she'd kill me.
I won't tell her, Bob. That's our producer. We made him a monkey for today. Very few producers can be monkeys, you know. And now, folks... And now, folks, for our feature attraction tonight. Oh, Don, would you mind answering the phone?
Oh, certainly not. Hello, this is Don Wilson talking for Jack Benny, the star of the Lucky Strike program. LSMFT, LSMFT. Yes, sir, you bet.
Don.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, so round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Don, find out what the man wants.
Lucky Strikes are made of that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Don, it might be important. It's a phone
call.
For
real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. What? Oh, I'm sorry. You have the wrong number.
Don, the next time you answer the phone, ask who it is first. Then, you know, tell them all about Lucky Strikes and everything, you know. And now, folks, oh, darn it. Come in.
Telegram for Jack Benny.
That's my writer. He's from Brooklyn. Everybody works on the show. Take it. Take it, Mary. Here you are, boy. Here's a tip for you.
Oh, boy, a glass of lemonade.
You'll suffer. You wrote that joke yourself. I just happen to have one in my pocket, the lemonade. I'm going back to that. Who's the telegram from, Mary?
Fred Allen.
Fred Allen? What does it say?
Dear Jack, I am expecting you as a guest on my program next Sunday. I'm sure you'll be there, as I haven't had any luck all season.
Isn't that sarcastic?
It sounds like an adjective.
Dennis. But imagine the nerve of Allen after he came over to my hotel and pleaded with me, begged me, even offered me money to be a guest on his show. Then he sends a wire like this.
Jack, do you mean that Allen came to your hotel and begged you to be on his program?
Oh, Don, I don't even want to discuss it.
I'll tell you what happened, Don.
Mary, please.
I happened to be over at Jack's hotel, the Acme Plaza. 500 rooms, 3 baths.
Mary.
And I thought nylon lines were long.
Now, Mary.
When I got into the hotel lobby, the elevator wasn't working, so I had to walk down 4 flights of stairs to get to Jack's room.
Mary, they're not interested in this thing.
Anyway, I got through talking to Jack and was just about to leave. Jack, what'd you want me to come by your room for?
Well, you know, we're going home next week, Mary, and I want to take something back for my girlfriend, Gladys Zabisco. What would you suggest?
Well, why don't you get her a nice beaver coat?
No. That's too expensive.
Well, how about a nice sealskin coat?
No. That's a little too expensive, too.
Why don't you just get her a rowboat and a harpoon and let her do her own shopping?
I did that once. She got seasick. I'll tell you what, Mary, just pick out anything you like. You know, you'll know what to get. No jewelry or fur.
I know. Goodbye.
All right, so long. Be careful going up the stairs. Yeah, I hope Mary picks out something nice.
Oh, boss, I filled the tub for you.
Thanks, Rochester. Rochester, have you got everything ready for my bath?
Yes, sir. Towel, soap, talcum powder, bath mat, bath robe, bath salts, and your 2 little celluloid ducks.
Fine. And, Rochester, I didn't think it was a bit funny last Saturday night when you put tacks in the bottom of the bathtub.
Those were bath salts. Oh. They hadn't disintegrated yet.
Disintegrated?
That's a verb.
Oh. Well, they were sharp as an adjective. Well, I think I'll go in for my bath now. See you later.
Doggone, this hotel room sure is a mess. That was some party the boss threw last night. Coca-Cola flew like wine. I've never seen the boss so merry. He slapped his sponsor on the back so hard he swallowed his cigarette. Lucky strike, that is. And when Mr. Benny got up and told that story about the octopus, I wonder who that can be. Come in!
Hello, Rochester. Is Mr. Benny in?
Well, Mr. Allen! Come right in, Mr. Allen. Mr. Benny's taking a bath. He'll be out in a few minutes.
Well, I'll wait for him. How is Mr. Benny feeling, I hope?
Pretty good. That is, considering the big party he threw last night.
Mr. Benny threw a party? Gad, the atomic bomb and now this. What was Gromyko's reaction, Rochester? Tell me, was the party a success?
Yeah, what a soiree. There was sandwiches, music, and dancing.
Well, it's a soiree. That's a conjunction, isn't it? Well, it sounds as though everybody had a good time.
Yeah, Mr. Benny enjoyed himself so much, he said next time he might invite girls.
Oh, it was a stag party.
Up until 11 o'clock, then the night maids came on.
Well, that's Benny, the chambermaid's pinup boy. He's just as democratic as ever. Failure hasn't gone to his head. Say, Rochester, will you tell Mr. Benny I'm here?
Yes, sir. Why don't you just sit down and make yourself comfortable? Here's one of Mr. Benny's favorite books, I Stand Condemned.
Oh, that's the story about the man who goes to the electric chair and leaves three lovely children, cream, cheese, and bagel. I hear Lindy selected it as the book of the month. They give you a smoked herring for a bookmark. With the quarter size, they give you an anchovy bookmark. Well, Rochester, I'm through ad-libbing. You can tell Mr. Benny to come out now.
Oh, he'll come out just as soon as he can think of something funny to say.
Well, I can't wait that long. Tell him to come out in pantomime, if you will.
Yes, sir. Oh, boss, you've got company.
Who is it?
You'll be sorry.
I'll be out in a minute. Rochester, what are you... Well, Fred Allen.
Hello, Jack.
I was just taking a bath.
Well, that's good, Jack. I think everyone should have a hobby.
Yes, you want to know something, Fred? Those pens do write underwater. I found
they
that.
Do, really?
Boss, you better put your robe on. You'll catch cold with just that towel around you.
Oh, I'll be all right.
Gosh, Jack, you've gotten sort of fat, haven't you?
Don't be funny.
Your hips have jowls, I know.
Well, honestly, Fred, you haven't changed a bit. Same hair, same forehead, same eyebrows, same eyes. Fred, lift those bags a little. I want to see your cheeks.
Put on your red cap and lift them yourself.
I will not. Fred, what's the reason for this friendly visit?
Well, Jack, hang on to your towel. I've come to ask you to be a guest on my radio program.
Oh. Well, gee, Fred, I'd love to be a guest on your show, but I can't. I already have a date for Wednesday night.
For Wednesday night?
Yes.
For your information, Mr. B, I do my broadcast on Sunday night right after yours. And when the wind is from the opposite direction, I must say I don't mind it at all.
What did you say?
If you'll take that celluloid duck out of your ear, you'd hear me.
Well, Fred, give me the details about going on your program.
Well, Jack, I thought as long as you were here in town, you might like to appear on my show. Get in off of the street for a little while someday.
Well, listen, if you're going to ad lib, do it on your own show where you need it.
You can use it, too, don't forget it. You could have used me 10 minutes ago. I was listening.
Really? If we keep on much longer, McCarthy will be on, make a monkey out of both of us. That's 1/8, that is, you know?
Of course, about coming on the show, I'm willing to pay you.
Pay me?
Yes. Stop trembling and pick up your towel.
Oh. Well, look, Fred. Fred, as long as this is a business proposition, let's discuss it. Sit down. Here, have a cigarette.
Thank you. Have a tea bag.
Oh, boy, my favorite brand. Now, Fred, just what makes you think I'd consider appearing on your program?
Well, I saw your ad in the Hobo News.
My ad?
Yes, the ad that read, Now in Town, Jack Benny. Available for theatrical dates, guest star appearances, and for $2, we'll meet English brides at the dock if husbands are detained. Must receive portal-to-portal pay.
Oh, that ad. That was just put in the papers as a gag by my press agent.
That gag killed him in Chicago and paid Mr. Benny's fare to New York.
Rochester, I didn't know you were still here.
In a one-room suite? Where else could I be?
Well, Mr. Allen and I are having a private conversation. Now, Fred, let's get back to business.
Well, Jack, I'm stuck. I had another guest for next week, but she couldn't make it.
Who was this other guest?
The one
and only... who still hasn't had a joke on the whole program.
You're reading the wrong lines, a straight line? My guest is the one and only Marcella Crudney.
Marcella Crudney?
Yes. You haven't heard of her? She's with the New York Yankees. You see, the Yankees have a pitcher whose specialty is the spitball. On hot summer days, when the pitcher might run dry, Marcella stands by...
Oh, her!
Yes, her. But she was suspended for spraying an umpire. Marcella was at work, a zephyr came up, and need I say more? Anyway, Jack, when Marcella couldn't make it, I tried to get John Charles Fido, the singing dog. But he had laryngitis.
I see, so you finally got down to me.
Down is right. Why in the world did you ever take a hotel room that's so far underground as this?
Oh, Fred, my room isn't so far underground.
It isn't. I came into the lobby and got the bends. And then I kept walking downstairs until I was stopped by John L. Lewis. Mr. Lewis put a lamp on my head and said it's okay for 2 weeks.
Well, I'm glad he put the lamp on because that's the first bright thing to come from your head in years. That last crack was from Maria Cooper. Did you hear that, Maria? Good. And now, Fred, while we're discussing this, let's have a bite to eat. I'll call room service. Hello, room service, please. Yadda-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum. Hello, room service? Please send down 2 Acme Plaza special dinners. Right away, please. Thank you. Now, Fred, look, why can't I appear on your program this Sunday night instead of next?
Well, I'm sorry, Jack, but I have my guest star for this week. He's your band leader.
You mean Phil Harris, Shoe Fly Pie, and Apple Pan Rowdy?
Yes, you see, Jack, around this time of the year, Maestro Al Goodman begins to worry about his options. So I thought I'd bring Harris over tonight and give Mr. Goodman confidence.
I see, but I better warn you about rehearsing. Phil. He'll have to memorize his script.
You mean Mr. Harris can't read?
Only the labels on bottles. When he graduated from school, everybody else got diplomas. He got a sheepskin corkscrew.
Well, look, Jack...
Don't stop me, I'm rolling. Or I thought I was when we wrote it. Now, go ahead.
Rolling? How can a square roll?
Lucky for you, there's going to be a knock on the door, or I'd answer that. Thank you. Come in. Well, here's room service with our dinner. What's on the menu tonight?
Pickle in the middle and the mustard on top. Just the way you like it in the whole thing.
Good old hot dog.
Yes, Coney Island Crepe Suzette.
2 hot dogs, please.
Crumpled puppies coming up. Would you like them Senator Claghorn style?
Senator Claghorn style? What's that?
They keep repeating on you.
No, just give them to us plain. How much are they?
Well, now, this one is 10 cents, and this one is 8 cents. Well,
why is this one only 8 cents?
I already took a bite out of it.
And why didn't you finish it?
Taste it.
Never mind. Here's your money.
Thank you. Pickle in the middle and the mustard on top. Just the way you like it in the whole.
Well, Fred, here's your hot dog.
Thank you. It was nice of you to keep the 8-cent one for yourself. And thanks for the lemonade, too. Well, Jack, I've got to run along now. I'll see you on my program next Sunday.
Wait a minute. We haven't discussed money. How much are you going to pay me?
Well, now, let's see. The union scale for the average radio actor is $67.50.
What?
However, you're the star of your own radio program. That would bring it up to $69.75.
Now, look.
Of course, you're from California, and you're not as well known here in the East. That brings it down to $68.
Wait a minute. You've forgotten I'm in pictures.
Oh, yes. That brings it down to $47.60.
Now, Fred...
We'll have to hire 3 people to start your applause.
I'll furnish them.
And the guy that yells, "You'll be sorry," gets $15,
Now,
you know.
Fred, I'm not going...
You better think fast, Benny. That singing dog just had pups, and I can get a quartet of Cocker Spaniels for nothing.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll be on your program next week.
Not so loud. I don't want to lose my listeners.
You lost the line already, so we're going to lose your listeners. Why, you delicatessen Taranti, you've got less listeners than the Siamese twins with one of them out of town.
What are you talking about? I've got more listeners than you have hair in your bureau drawer.
Why, you nasal nitwit, I wouldn't work on your program if it was the last...
$25, take it or leave it.
What time is rehearsal?
2:00 Sunday and goodbye.
Imagine chiseling me down like that. If it wasn't money, I'd refuse it. Jack, we'll be back in just a minute. But first, here is my good friend,
F.E. Booth. At 49, American.
Remember this all-important fact. In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Yes, it takes fine tobacco to make a fine cigarette. And year in, year out, at market after market,
The makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
And this light, fine, naturally mild Lucky Strike tobacco means more real, deep down smoking enjoyment for you. Remember, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's program are Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 49, American.
And Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina.
American.
And this is Basil Rysdale speaking for the makers of Lucky Strike. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T.
Common sense will tell you that in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So for your own real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
Hello?
Say, boss, will you need me during the evenings next week?
I don't think so. Why?
I got a chance to do a little extra work at the Zanzibar nightclub starting Tuesday.
Oh, the Zanzibar. You signed that contract, huh?
Uh-huh.
Did you speak to them like I told you to?
Yeah, but I'm sorry, boss. They want me to work alone.
Oh, oh. Well, we'll be down to see you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good night, folks. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that. Up next is Fred Allen's program with Jack Benny on it from May 26, 1946. Fred Allen, at one point in his career, before the Fred Allen Show, hosted Town Hall Tonight. Town Hall Tonight was an hour-long comedy show that featured a news segment satirizing the news. This inspired the new satires we know well today, such as Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update and Comedy Central's The Daily Show, and its spinoff, The Colbert Report. The Daily Show is currently hosted by Jon Stewart. I would argue that Jon Stewart is a personality that, like Fred Allen, is easy to become emotionally invested in. He regularly mocks his guests on his own programs, and the way Allen is quick to ad-lib, something to make himself the funny host. But Stewart also will stand up for his beliefs and argue with guests he's interviewing if he doesn't agree with their sentiments. Stewart and Allen often have the most laughs on their shows, but they will also be the first to bash themselves if need be. Jon Stewart hosted the 78th Academy Awards, for example, and his performance was lackluster. He was the first to mock himself for his terrible performance in the same way he would have mocked any other person on that stage. That sort of integrity makes him stand out in the same way that Jack Benny and Fred Allen stand out among comedians, and it is safe to say that Jon Stewart has fans that are connected to him for more reasons than the fact that he can make them laugh. Very recently, Jon Stewart appeared on Bill O'Reilly's show, and if you have not watched this interaction yet, I recommend looking on YouTube or other similar sites for this interview. Here you have two men, both capable of being funny in their own styles, engaged in a really heated debate. The Stewart-O'Reilly feud does not seem to be as friendly as the Allen-Benny feud, since we all know that Fred and Jack were actually good friends and fans of each other. But it is a perfect example of celebrities coming together to speak about what Americans are thinking, and that is what makes the audience connected to people like Stewart and O'Reilly. I'll leave you tonight with a question similar to Allen's own question when he asks when he goes to Allen's Alley. Are you emotionally invested in a television personality? Why or why not? Think about it, and I will be back with a new theme sooner than you can find Doo-Wah Diddy on a map.
It isn't one of the old hickory singers, kiddies.
The makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show. With Fred's guest, Mary Livingston's husband, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And until I start tooting the claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. Ladies and gentlemen, Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Benjamin Franklin said, remember, time is money. But for the last 8 months, all I've said is, here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I happen to overhear your opening remarks. Lad, if you are unhappy in your work...
Well, how can I be happy, Fred? Every Sunday, what do? I have one line. Here he is again.
Kenny, the man who invented the telephone only had one line when he started.
Yeah, but Fred, I'm not getting any place in radio. It's the same on my other show.
Oh, you're on another...
The Lucky Strike program.
Oh, the Lucky Strike program. What do you do on that?
You know when the man says LSMFT?
Yeah.
Then the tobacco auctioneer says, yachtata, sold American.
Uh-huh.
Then a voice says, you bet.
You bet.
Another voice says, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The voice that says, yes, sir, is mine.
You're beaten down on that show, too, huh? Kenny, why don't you give up that other job and just work on our show?
You mean you'll pay me the extra money?
No, Kenny, but I tell you what I shall do. I'll let you add the line you have on the Lucky Strike program to the line you have on our show. Put them together now and see how they sound.
Here he is again. Yes, sir.
How is that?
Well, that's more like it, Fred. Now I've got something to do.
As long as you're happy, Kenny.
Mr. Allen!
Well, partner... Well, Portland, pull up an old rejoiner and sit down. What's new?
Mama says President Truman has taken over all the coal mines.
Does your mother need coal?
Yes. Mama's calling up the White House tomorrow and ordering 2 tons.
Oh, that's fine. Do away with the middleman. Go right to the top. Well, if she needs any wood, the president could sit down at the piano and give her a couple of chords, I imagine. Not good. The man crept in here and did something to the script tonight. I won't mention his name.
Mama says the world today is a bowling alley.
The world is a bowling alley?
Every time you turn around, there's a strike.
Well, I'm glad. Anything you don't understand, applaud. It's perfectly all right. That's what they do in Hollywood. People come in, just applaud and get warm and go home. The trains are running again, Portland.
Yes, if the railroad strike lasted one more week, the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe would have been off the hit parade.
Oh, that would have been terrible. Well, I think I'll run along, Portland. I have to get my magnifying glass and worm a crab apple.
Mama says Friday is your birthday.
That's right.
How old are you?
Nobody knows, Portland. I was born before the Decca Company started, so there weren't any records in those days.
Mama says...
Now, don't you laugh. Don't you start. You're going to establish a precedent in here. I want to know about it. Come to me.
Mama says last year when the candles on your birthday cake melted down...
Yeah?
There was enough grease to wax the floor at Roseland.
Oh, I'm not that old, Portland.
Mama says if you were a piece of furniture, you'd be an antique.
Yeah. If I was an antique in radio, I'd be Duncan's other fife. Life, I guess, Portland.
Mama says life is like the Australian fig bird.
The Australian fig bird?
It lives on the seeds and figs.
But there aren't any figs in Australia.
The Australian fig bird dies at birth.
And the Australian fig bird has nothing on our jokes. Let me think. I think we'd better get along to Allen's Alley, Portland.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently, a Mr. Ralph Slater, a specialist in mental suggestion, made a phonograph record that he guarantees will put any insomniac to sleep. And so our question is, do you have any trouble sleeping? And if you do, what are you doing about it?
Shall we go?
As the dollar dinner said when the glutton sat down, I'll be gone in a minute. It's so good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. It's as quiet as a needle coiling in a bucket of whipped cream. Say, I wonder if the senator is in. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes,
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn, that
well, now,
is.
Look, I know.
Something tells me you don't remember me, sir.
Look, I remember
I'm
you.
I'm from the South. The Boone and Possum Paradise.
Now look, Senator.
The only plant life I have around my house is a Virginia creeper.
Now wait a minute.
Every time I get chicken pox, they're southern fried.
Senator.
Remember me now, son?
No.
Don't say no in my presence.
Why not?
N-O, that's North abbreviated.
Wait a minute, Senator. What about this sleeping problem?
When I first went to the Senate, I had plenty of trouble sleeping. After the roll was called, I'd put on my sail sucker nightshirt and my Lindsay Woolsey beret.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd face the south, lean back, close my eyes.
And go to sleep, huh?
Until some Yankee pigeon plucker would get up, start flapping his lips, and break up my Morpheus filibuster. Filibuster, that is.
Heard you the first time, Senator. Are you still losing sleep, Senator?
No, I've solved my problem, son.
How?
When I'm ready to sleep in the Senate, I sit back and croon myself my southern lullaby.
What is your southern lullaby?
Rock-a-bye, small fry on the cotton tree top. When the southern wind blows, your cradle will rock. When the wind's from the north, I say, baby, you'll bawl. For down will come cradle, tree, and you all.
Well, very good, Senator. The Senator stopped just in time. I was dozing off myself. Now, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing.
Howdy, bub.
You're starting to sound like Dennis Day, Titus. Howdy, Mr. Moody. Do you have any trouble sleeping?
I only half sleep.
Half sleep?
I got short eyelids.
With short eyelids, you can't close your eyes, eh?
Only when I frown.
Oh, I see. Well, are you the only one awake on the farm?
No, daylight saving time has got everything in a swivet.
The animals are bewildered?
Yeah, my cow had insomnia.
Your cow didn't sleep at all?
The bags under her eyes were so big, I didn't know which end to milk.
You were confused, eh?
Yeah. First time I milked the wrong end and got two buckets full of homogenized tears.
Well, have you cured the cow's insomnia?
I got a book on hypnotizing.
Good.
I stood in front of the cow.
Yeah?
I stared right into her eyes.
Uh-huh.
I started waving with my hand.
Uh-huh.
I said, Alagazam, Alagazen, you ain't a cow, you're a hen.
You're a hen. Well, was your hypnotism a success?
Yeah. Today, that cow thinks she's a hen.
Well, how do you know?
Well, she's sitting on a nest.
You mean?
She's laying eggnogs. Come on, man.
Let's try this next door here.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Hoagie Carbuncle.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, do you have trouble sleeping?
Who could sleep? Every night with his dreaming, my husband Pierre is waking me up.
He dreams, huh?
Always he has different things.
Dreams he's different things? How do you mean?
One night, Pierre is dreaming he is the lone stranger.
Yeah.
All night long, he is yelling, Hi-ho, Silver!
Hi-ho, Silver, huh?
Upstairs is living a Mr. Silver.
Yeah.
All night, he is yelling back, Hi-ho, Nussbaum!
I see.
One night, Pierre is dreaming he is an automobile, a roadster.
A roadster?
In his pajamas, Pierre is sleeping with the top down.
Oh. Fine.
Once, he is dreaming he is an Alka-Seltzer.
An Alka-Seltzer?
All night, Pierre is fizzing.
Well, no wonder. No wonder you can't sleep.
Last night, he should drop dead.
What happened?
He is dreaming he is a tea kettle.
A tea kettle, huh?
All night long, Pierre is whistling.
Whistling?
In the morning when he is waking.
Yeah?
In bed with Pierre is 20 dogs.
Well, that brings us to the lavender shanty at the end of the alley. Let's try here.
You knocked three times. Do you think that's nice? In my last picture, the postman rang twice.
Ah, Falstaff, you have new poems tonight?
Indubitably. Hast heard, said the little bear to the big giraffe, let's eat a hyena just for a laugh?
No.
Or when I called her baby, her face lit up because she had a lantern jaw?
No.
How about this? Mother's home putting spikes in her shoes. She's playing first base for Vera Cruz.
Now, wait a minute, Paul. You exponent of the hackney, tonight we are discussing the problem of sleep.
My poem awaits your bidding.
And what is your shut-eye sonata called?
My recipe for slumber.
How does it geek?
If you cannot sleep at night and you don't know what to do, my recipe for slumber is just the thing for you. Don't waste time taking powders. Don't bother counting sheep. Don't dawdle in a hot bath hoping you will sleep. Don't give up drinking coffee. Don't send for any gland man. You can eat and drink all night, and still you'll meet the Sandman. My recipe for slumber is older than the Sphinx. Just cut 20 tiddlies into halves, and you'll get 40 winks.
Well, thank you. And of course, that runs for cover. We turn to greet the DeMarco sisters. Accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his I Haven't Got a Joke for Them This Week Philharmonic, the DeMarco sing Doing What Comes Naturally.
Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be, doing what comes naturally. Folks like us could never fuss with school, books, and learning. Still we've gone from A to Z, doing what comes naturally. You don't have to know how to read or write when you're out with a fella in the pale of moonlight. You don't have to come from a great big town not to go picking berries in an evening gown. That comes naturally. That comes naturally.
My uncle out in Texas can't even write his name. He signs his checks with X's, but they cash them just the same.
Uncle Ben got angry when they caught him stealing chicken. I'm within my rights, said he.
A-doing
what comes naturally. Why naturally? Naturally.
And now a simple suggestion.
A suggestion about something good to eat makes us all take notice, so here's one for the book. Be smart when you spend your food dollars, ladies. Get the most for your money. Get Bluebonnet Margarine, for it gives you flavor, nutrition, economy. All three. Yes, not just one, not just two, but all three. You get flavor, delicious flavor, fresh, delicate, country sweet. The fussiest eater in your family will tell you, gee, Mom, this tastes swell. Bluebonnet brings you proved nutrition, too. It's rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, you'll find Bluebonnet saves you real money. Costs just about half as much as an expensive table spread. And remember, Bluebonnet margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast, so you know it's pure, fresh, dependable. These days, your grocer doesn't always have Bluebonnet, for there's an acute shortage of table spreads, but keep asking. He'll have it. And when he does, grab it. Remember the letters F-N-E for flavor, nutrition, economy. Bluebonnet margarine gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
That was just a short order of Who Do You Love, I Hope, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his 40 men who...
This is Studio 6A,
hey, wait a minute,
folks.
Wait a minute.
This glass booth is the control room.
Say, just a minute.
That little man with the mildew on him is a vice president.
Say, wait a minute. What is this?
This is a Radio City 60-cent tour. Okay, folks, let's get going. Hey, wait a minute. I got a stowaway here.
A stowaway in a tour?
Only 15 people paid. Now I got 60.
Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack Benny. Jack.
Come on, Jack. I'm going to get 60 cents out of you.
Take your hand off my spine.
Come on.
Put me down.
Yes, guide. Put Mr. Benny down. I'll give you the 60 cents.
Wait a minute, Fred. Wait a minute. Put that money away.
But, Jack.
I've only seen half the tour.
Well, Jack.
Give him 30 cents.
Here you are, guide.
Thanks. Follow me, folks. Now, on your right is a water cooler.
Well, Fred, it was nice of you to pay that 30 cents.
Oh, it was nothing.
Nothing, he says. 30 cents.
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedian. Tell some cheap joke. Say I'm tighter than the skin on Sidney Greenstreet's hip. I squeeze a nickel so hard, the E pluribus laps over the unum. Tell him.
Well, Jack, I didn't...
Oh, start insulting me after I made a special trip up here just to say goodbye before I leave for Hollywood.
Well, Jack, I...
All of a sudden, I'm cheap. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Your shadow has teeth? Jack, don't... Jack, don't get excited. Look, if you're cheap, you're cheap.
That's the way I look at it. Some people save asparagus ends. It's a hobby. My hobby is not spending.
Look, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, a lot of, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. They'll not be back on the air next fall.
Well, that's radio, Fred. It's dog eat dog. I always say, only the fit survive.
Oh, how true. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yipe!
Jack. Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
Well, that's what happened to the street singer. At the end of the year, his sponsor used to wink. One year, he didn't wink. The street singer was back in the street.
But, Fred, why should my sponsor want to get rid of me? Well, I'm funnier than I was when I started, and I'm getting less money.
Really?
Some weeks, when he's short, I take tobacco. I hate to get these big laughs on your program. I really...
Let's face it, Jack. Radio needs new blood. Who knows? We may be through.
I've been on radio 14 years. They can't throw me aside like an old shoe.
But, Jack...
14 years. And now, like an old shoe.
But, Jack, you with that and yipe. 14 years is a long time.
Fred, what has Ma Perkins got that I haven't got? Only longer commercials. That's it.
Well, Jack, you know how it is in radio. Today you're a star. Tomorrow Ralph Edwards is hitting you in the face with a pie.
Like an old shoe.
Well, cheer up, Jack. At least we have our memories. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yep. The first time I met you, Fred, I was just a kid in school. A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar.
You were the only 10 o'clock scholar I ever saw with 5 o'clock shadow.
How I could use some of that fuzz today. I could use a good joke today, too.
The next time we met, we were in Fordville, remember? You were doing a musical act.
Playing the violin. What a finish I had. When I played Glowworm, my violin lit up.
With those neon strings, it was beautiful.
Fred, remember my encore?
Encore?
Remember I'd put the violin bow in my teeth, bend the crab, and play Listen to the Mockingbird?
And as you bent the crab, two mockingbirds flew out of the back of your pants.
I stopped every show.
Except this one. Remember the closing...
This one stopped 5 minutes before I got on it.
Stopped with Cash Daly. Remember that week in Needles, Arizona, the closing act, Cohen's Camels?
Cohen's... No,
the closing act. Jack, how could you forget Cohen's Camels?
Cohen, I remember. My sponsor told me to forget that other word.
Those were the happy days. The next time I saw you, you were just going into radio.
Radio. I remember the morning Marconi called me up.
Marconi?
Marconi and Singing Sam had a little radio station in a doorway down on the east side. The antenna was a Western Union boy holding a wire.
Well, I guess
it's... jokes don't fit.
No, they don't.
The antenna. When did I ever say antenna on my own phone? Go ahead, Fred.
Well, it's all over, Jack. We've come to the end of the rainbow.
Like an old shoe.
Like, there it is again.
And I'm 10 minutes already. I've only had it for an old shoe. Oh, I forgot antenna.
Yeah. You ought to get a boot out of that old shoe by now.
No, I'm sorry I brought it back in again. Seems like only yesterday I ran into the May Company and said, Mary, stop demonstrating that Brillo. That's another word I don't know.
It goes on top of an antenna. Brillo fits on an antenna. Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my program.
Your program? You mean you're not getting thrown out of radio, too?
Well, why should I?
Listen, if my program is old stuff, you with that broken-down Allen's Alley.
Now, well, wait, I mean my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean to stay on the air, you have to give things away? Free?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
To strangers?
What's the difference who gets it?
Well, Fred, as long as I'm here in the studio...
Well, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Nothing. You have to give them the merchandise?
That's right.
Hmm.
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Hmm. Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, Mr. Goodman, let's try out my new show.
How would you like to be king for a day? And here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Red Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening. Did all you folks in the audience like those $1,000 bills you found on your seats when you came in? Good, and if you want more, there'll be a big bag of money at the door. On your way out, help yourselves. But the stage is loaded with hundreds of presents for the first man to answer our jumbo jackpot question. He will be king for a day. And here is our first eager contestant. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
Abner Flog.
Mr. Flog, how old are you?
I'm 98.
98 years old.
And don't pin no orchid onto me.
No orchid, eh?
That's how I lost my wife.
On a quiz program?
Yeah. My wife was 102. A fella pinned an orchid onto her.
I see.
The weight of the orchid bent my wife over and snapped her spine.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, my wife won first prize, but she never knew it.
Well, all right, Mr. Flog. Now for our question. You may be king for a day.
I don't think I'll last through the day.
All right, we'll hurry. Tell me, who was the sixth president of the United States?
The sixth?
There were three names.
Mary Margaret McBride.
Oh. I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Flog, but for making such a swell try, here is a gift certificate presented at LaGuardia Airfield, and you will get a brand new B-29 and a polka dot form-fitting parachute. Happy landing, Mr. Flog. And here is our next potential king for a day. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
What is your occupation, Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm a chaplain in a bakery.
What does a chaplain do in a bakery?
I put wings on angel cakes.
How long have you been in the cake business, Mr. Proudfoot?
Long enough to know a crumb when I see one. I see one.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who is the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct.
and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Folks, here he is, King Proudfoot. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Well, first, for His Majesty from Snook's Sport Nook, a genuine no-splash beaver board canoe paddle.
Here. A canoe paddle? Oh, boy!
And with the compliments of Tiffany's, this chromium pitchfork.
King! A four-pronger, and it's all mine.
And from Hemingway's hardware store, 200 pounds of self-hardening putty for King for a day.
Just what I needed. Just what I needed.
This is just the beginning, King. King, you are over 35.
By 2 years.
Fine. That jumbo cotton, Uncle Jim, for His Majesty. He is over...
Effie, that's what? Yipe backwards.
And here, the piston rod from a genuine Baldwin locomotive for His Majesty the King. Small locomotive. And here, from Melody Lane Music Shop, this case of 2,000 soybean mandolin picks. These are the mandolin picks.
I just keep pinching myself to believe it.
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Tomorrow morning, through the courtesy of the Sanitation Department, you will be guest conductor on the 11-5 garbage run through the Bronx. At night, in your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest.
I'm king for a day!
And that's not all.
There's more?
Yes, we're going to start right now to make you look like a king. Sam of Sam's Super Shoe Shine Stand is here to brush your shoes. All right, Sam.
Sam, watch out for the button.
Next, the president of the Busy Bee Hat Cleaners is here to block your hat. Take the king's hat, Mr. Bumble.
And change the newspaper in the hat band.
Your suit is a little baggy, King. Boys, take His Majesty's coat off.
Wait.
On our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute! Give me my pants.
Quiet, King.
Alan, this is a break. Where are my pants?
Denny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pants.
Well, if you don't know what day today is...
Today is the day to get out the tall glasses. The iced tea season is here. Time to enjoy iced Tenderleaf tea, one of summer's main attractions. Yes, iced tea is raised to its ultimate best by the use of this richer blend. In fact, the iced tea season has played a big part in making Tenderleaf tea so famous for flavor. Flavor means more. It's more important through the summer months. So everybody sets out to get all the flavor going, and that leads straight to Tenderleaf tea for finer flavor and more art. In spite of melting ice, the richer goodness of Tenderleaf tea persists. The last swallow of the glass is still delicious, still flavorful Tenderleaf tea.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.